Welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 241 on July 11th, 2019. Changing the world one ass at a time. If you would like to support my efforts to deconstruct the myths and misconceptions around pegging and offer accurate information to all who seek it, head on over to Patreon and become a patron of my work. All patrons have access to the podcast a day early, as well as a 24/7 chat channel full of pegging practitioners from all over the world. As well, if you are a patron, even for a dollar a month, you can take any of my webinars for free. Yes, you heard that right. Plus, there are rewards for the various levels of patronage, including written and audio erotica to excite and inspire. Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider. Or you can click the Become a Patron button on my website. And if you prefer to avoid recurring monthly charges, you can always make a one-time donation by simply doing the math. For example, $3 a month times 12 months is $36, and you'll get the same benefits as a monthly patron. The link to make a one-time donation is just beneath the Patron button on the right-hand side of my website. Another way to support my work is through EnticeMe.com, the little black dress of pleasure products. EnticeMe offers a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, and non-toxic toys for your enjoyment. Go to EnticeMe.com, hashtag RubyRider, and for 15% off of your entire purchase, use the coupon code RIDER, that's R-Y-D-E-R. And if you'd like assistance figuring out which pegging equipment is the best choice for you, I offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of EnticeMe. You'll be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging. Hey everyone, let's do a patron update. It's been a while, so I have a few.
Yes.
Ginger is a new patron for $1 a month. Ginger, thank you so much. And I do believe it's Mistress Ginger, if I'm not mistaken. Thanks for your generosity and your support. John is a new patron for $5 a month. John, thank you so much for believing in what I do and becoming a patron of mine. Missy is a new patron for $5 a month as well. Missy, thank you so much for your support. I really appreciate your generosity. And Chives Calm, not sure what that stands for, but I'm just reading out what's written here in the name, became a new patron for $100 a month. Chives Calm, thank you so much. I am awed by your generosity. Thank you so much for helping support what I spread out in the world. Jen is a new patron for $3 a month. Jen, thank you so much. I appreciate your support. Emily is a new patron for $5 a month. Emily, wow. Thank you for being a patron of mine. I really appreciate your generosity. Julian is a new patron for $3 a month. Julian, thank you for your support and your generosity. I appreciate your patronage. Linda is a new patron for $3 a month. Linda, wow, thank you for your support. I appreciate you becoming a patron. And Clinton is a new patron for $5 a month. Clinton, happy to have you on board. Thank you so much for your support and believing in what I do. So, we also have a couple of one-time donations. One is from Spruce Creek for $50. Thank you so much, Spruce Creek. Really appreciate that. And Fanman LLC gave a one-time donation of $5. Thank you so much for your generosity, Fanman LLC. I love these creative names that you guys keep coming up with. And another one-time donation was given by Photos by Stewart. Photos by Stewart, thank you so much for your generosity. I appreciate you sending in that donation very much. Let's see. So let's talk about, well, first, let me say that, yes, I've been gone for a little while. You guys have sent me some emails and gone, hey, are you okay? And the timing of that was particularly concerning for some of you, because the last podcast I put out was like my coming out podcast. And you know, that was sort of done in stages because I posted the article about me coming out all over the place. And then I decided to read it on the podcast, like I mentioned, because some of you engage with me simply by podcast and that's it. You don't follow me on social media or anything like that. So now pretty much everyone knows. And then I sort of disappear for a while. So yeah, some of you were concerned. So I am going to read the reactions that I got. And I'm happy to say, I'm thrilled to say, I'm humbled to say that I have not gotten one bad reaction yet. Not one. So thank you guys. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for being open to changing your minds, if I indeed did change your mind regarding sex work. But let me read you some of the reactions I got here. We can't categorize sex work and trafficking together. They have to be separated out as two distinct issues, as trafficking covers a much broader range of labor, not just sex work, but it is easy for the morality police to tie the two together, since the images are so powerful that it becomes politically impossible, and politicians seem to be inept in general at nuanced discussions. Here's another one. I wanted to say thank you for coming out as a sex worker. That's incredibly brave, and I'm sure it will inspire others to do the same. As you said, we all must do our part to end the stigma and dangerous conditions some sex workers face. And here's another one. You've done it again. Thank you so much for standing up for sex workers and for opening up about your own experience. I will always be a devoted listener and financial supporter of yours. I, too, am a consensual part-time sex worker. When a pro-dom friend of mine has a client who wants to provide oral service to a top male, I've been asked to step in. I have come to understand that I'm providing a valuable service to someone who wants and needs something important to them and take that responsibility seriously. Unfortunately, others in my life and work would not understand, and so I can't be out about it. But I am an advocate for consensual sex work and defend it when my very well-intentioned friends judge it. The podcast gave me very specific points that I can use in this defense, and I thank you for it. I'll say it again. Shine on, Ruby. Here's another one. Dear Ruby, I have just listened to podcast number 240, and wow, I have a million thoughts running through my head. Firstly, I admire your guts for embarking on such a career change and fully support your choice. A girl's gotta eat, after all. Your thoughts on sex worker trafficking are spot on. The trafficker should be the target, not the workers, male or female. I believe in Australia prostitution is legalized. Google the Scarlet Alliance for more info. Now to organize a trip to California, laugh out loud. All my best wishes and love, and please stay safe and careful. Here's another one. I have just read your last blog. Wow, that must have taken some courage. There has always been so much hypocrisy about sex work, and it should be a profession like anything else. But to put it out there, as you have done, takes guts. I have found that being able to talk to you about such personal matters a great benefit to my state of mind, and hear some of them read out loud on your blog makes me feel free of any guilt I might have had. I hope you're left to get on with your life, helping people mentally and physically, as it can be seen to be of a great benefit to a very large number of people. Wishing you all the luck for the future. Massive hugs from across the pond. And then this same person wrote back and said, just had an awful thought about your last podcast. It went like this. You got very drunk and were at the depths of despair, so you revealed your terrible secret. My view is I don't care. I will still give you a very emotional hug in the street if I meet you. You are my heroine and will always be. Hold your head up high. Lots of hugs from across the pond. And yet one more. Congratulations on your brave stance in coming out as a sex worker. If people were as honest and enlightened as you are about such matters, the world would be a less fraught and complex place. And I was not correct. There are more. Hey, Ruby Writer, I wanted to compliment you on your superb piece of writing for International Whores Day. I came across it earlier and loved every line, so beautifully crafted, demonstrating your empathy and intelligence. I felt like you'd looked inside me and then written my every feeling and emotion. I simply adore your line, the chance to explore their desires without judgment or shame. In one sentence, you have encapsulated so many men's inner desires, of which society denies them. While we may have become more liberal, there are still sufficient taboos in our intolerant world. Strange, that is why I find pegging and submission such a turn-on, and such an escape from my everyday alpha world, to be desired by someone and to experience how it feels to be held and penetrated is delightful. Your words touched a chord. I have previously admired your photos, an intriguing corner of kink. Today, however, you touched my soul. Stay kinky, Madame Ruby Rider. This world needs delicious women like you. And so that was it, everybody, and wow. Thank you guys so much. I have a couple of reactions to, well, I have a lot of reactions to all the stuff in there, but the one that keeps coming to mind is the person that mentioned the career change. Well, it's not really a career change. It's just an addition. So it's not exactly having a career and I'm not changing anything. I'm just sort of adding something. And I think I may have mentioned on the last podcast or a number of them that eventually I'll let go of massage because my hands are starting to wear out. So yeah, I'm replacing it perhaps a bit with other things, but I'm just really thankful to all of you for your support. I was fairly certain that this is how you would react, and I think that's one of the reasons that I felt confident about coming out as a sex worker, because you know me. You've listened to me. You've read my stuff. You believe in me, and you know that I'm an okay person. I'm a good person. I have empathy and compassion, and I try and do good things in the world. And I guarantee you that the vast majority of sex workers out there are like that. They are people like me. They're normal, wonderful, awesome people. But you've given me so much support over the years that I kind of depended on that, and you guys totally came through. So thank you so very, very much for all that. And if you did write in and give me a reaction that I haven't found, I so apologize for not finding it and including it in this podcast. It's just that since I'm behind, I'm kind of trying to gather things together. So I will have missed a few things, and sorry about that, but I'll get to them. I will find them because I am catching up, you guys. I am catching up. Okay, so let's dive into your letters, shall we? I hope you're doing well. I can't tell you how much your podcasts help. Please keep them coming. I can't get enough. I have a few questions on a couple of toys that my wife was researching. She's never been one to be the aggressor on pegging or kinky sex. So when she went out and ordered these, and then he put a link, I can't even begin to tell you how much it turned me on. We have never had anything like these before, so I was just curious if you had any experience or recommendations. Dovetailing off of that toy, she told me she wants a new vibrator, definitely needs one. She was ideally looking for one that could go in her spare parts jock during pegging, but also be an insertable vibe for her, parentheses solo slash couple. She stumbled upon the vibe below, and I was curious of what your thoughts are regarding that particular one or any other you may recommend. And then he put another link to a toy. Thank you so much for all you do, Ruby. You are incredibly important to so many people you'll never even get to meet or hear from. Sincerely, One Ball Wonder. Yay, One Ball Wonder. It's been a while since I've heard from you. So here's the deal on your questions. The first link, I have to tell you guys, you listeners, that the first link was, it is a chain. It's this beautiful chain that has clamps that go on the nipples and the clit. So picture sort of a Y shape. These beautiful chains and clamps that go on each nipple and one on the clit. And so, yes, I can see why you were really turned on, because it looks beautiful in the photos. And I will put that link in the Linkorama. I did ask Tiffany about that because I checked to see if Entice Me sells that, and we don't. And she said that she tried one of those out, but for her, the clamps weren't right. They weren't the kind that would stay on very well, and she wasn't satisfied with the quality, so Entice Me doesn't sell it. But I'm still going to put the link in the Linkorama, even if you guys just want to take a look at the picture, or if you want to try it out. And the other question that you had kind of threw me for a loop for a moment, because you basically said she wants a new vibrator, looking for one that could go in the spare parts jock during pegging, but also be insertable. So here's the deal. If something goes in the harness, then it needs to be something small or flat-ish, because it's going to be between the harness and her while she's pegging you. The two different things in that category are, first, one that you have all heard about many times, which would be the mini vibes, right? And usually if it's a spare part jock harness, then the joie is going to be the best one because it's shorter and those vibe pockets in the jock are horizontal. So the joie is going to be in the Linkorama, the link for that. But also, when I mentioned the word flat-ish, right? Okay, so there's this new toy that came out. It's totally cool. It's called the NB, E-N-B-Y. And the NB is like this new sort of flat thing with little nub on it that you can place between the harness and you. And you can also just masturbate with it. You can put it on a flat surface or a pillow or something like that and hump against it. It's quite versatile. And it also has 3 speeds and 5 patterns of vibration. It's a USB charging, so there's no batteries or anything. It's got a storage bag, and it's all made out of body-safe silicone. And it can be like tucked in the harness, like I say, or humped or rubbed on or placed between bodies. It's pretty versatile, and it resembles nothing so much as actually like a bicycle seat, like a little mini bicycle seat. So it's pretty cool. It's made by Wildflower Designs, and I don't think that I'm really expressing the versatility of it very well. They developed it to be a non-gendered toy. You can wrap it around a penis. You can stick it between you when you're having intercourse. You can do so many things with it. So I'm going to link to a video, a YouTube video that the company made that tells you all the stuff that you can do with it. You will find that in the Linkorama. And Tiffany has it up on Entice Me. She just told me this morning that she has it up. So I'll put a link for that in the Linkorama so you can check that out. But in terms of also something to be insertable and give her clitoral stimulation, you can consider the WeVibe Sync or Unite. Okay, so what's the difference? Well, first of all, what I'm talking about is the WeVibe Sync and the Unite are both U-shaped things with little vibrating things on both ends. So one's going to be insertable and one's going to be over the clit. They've done a lot of redesigning of these, so they tend to stay in place a little bit more. I have heard both things from people about, well, it doesn't really stay in place well enough during pegging. And then other people who just rave about it and say this is like the best thing ever for pegging. The difference between the Sync and the Unite is the Sync has all the bells and whistles. It has a remote, and it can also be controlled via smartphone app at distance. Yes, this is one of those toys. If you spend some time away from your partner and you like to have play over cam or even just phone sex with the person operating the toy that is inside you, the Unite is a somewhat lesser model without the bells and whistles for the people that are looking for a cheaper option. So those are things to consider as well. So that is the answer to those questions. The thing that you link to, the second toy, is called a Bender. It looks okay, but it's lacking a whole bunch of things, and the design is not really good. I think she was on the right idea, though, looking for something that can kind of bend around, which is why I recommended the WeVibe Sync and the Unite. So there you go, Mr. One Ball Wonder. Let us know how you like whatever you get, and thanks for the letter. And here's my next one. I need some advice regarding a new cock for the lady who wants to have her way with me. It drives her wild when she uses a plug on me. Yesterday we discussed what she wanted to wear and use on me. She wants something about 7 inches with a large head, natural Caucasian coloring, and I want something natural feeling. I find real cocks more enjoyable than many dildos available. I am no virgin. There are a bewildering array of options available, and I thought it might be best if I asked an expert. We are able to shop locally at Pleasure Chest or the Stockroom. She might want to take me shopping, which could put an interesting spin on the experience. Thank you for your time and all you have shared with the community. Well, off the top of my head, Vixen Creations makes some lovely natural looking, if you will. You know, there's always sort of a thing about skin colored, whose skin. So yes, I appreciate you saying Caucasian colored, even though we have a lot of different skin colors, even just in the Caucasian group of people. Nonetheless, natural-ish looking dildos. There's some great ones by Vixen Creations. And you're going to be looking for the toys labeled Vixskin, V-I-X-S-K-I-N. Those are the dual density toys. Those are going to feel the most like a real cock, okay? And they have a wide variety, even in the Caucasian flesh-colored tones, if you will. of sizes, shapes, widths, lengths, big head, small head, you name it. So you can check on their website over there and see what they've got, see if they have anything that fits your description, because those are all quite good toys. A less expensive version is Blush Novelties dual density line. They have two, the color that you're speaking of. They're not quite as realistic, but they are dual density. One is called the Suco and one is called the Sumo. Now the measurements on those are as follows. You mentioned that she wanted something 7 inches long. Well, the length of the Suco is 8 inches long, but the insertable length is 7 inches. So I wasn't really sure where you stood on that. Nonetheless, the diameter of it is 1.6 inches, and it does come with a suction cup base. Both of these Real Nude Blush Novelty dildos come with a suction cup base. The other one is called the Sumo. So the first one's the Suco, the second one's the Sumo. And the Sumo has almost exactly the same insertable length, and it also has the suction cup bottom, but the width is 2 inches. And of course, these diameters, widths, are at the widest point of the toy. Both of them have pronounced heads. And although the pictures of them show them as being pink, they do come in a nude color, so to speak. So you can check those out as well. And it looks actually like the Sumo Tiffany has on sale and in stock. I think she's going through and trying to put on sale the things that have been sitting for a bit. So you could get that for bit of a discount. It looks as if that's what's happening over at Entice Me. So yes, those are the two suggestions I would have for you. I'm going to put a link to some of those from Blush Novelties in the Linkorama, as well as the link to Vixen Creations. And have fun. I'm not sure if the Pleasure Chest or the Stockroom carries these. You're going to have to check with them to find out. Have fun shopping, whether it's online or in person. And thanks for the letter. My girlfriend Jenny and I are looking for a larger harness. We're hoping that you can point us in the right direction. We've tried 3 harnesses and all were too small to be comfortable. We're looking for a harness that will fit larger hips and also look sexy / feminine at the same time. We are willing to spend a little more for the right product. We love pegging. And this is from Eric. Eric, thank you so much for the letter. So my very first suggestion, which I think is very sexy and feminine looking, would be the best harness of all time, which is the Aslan Leather Minx. Now, some people like leather and some people don't, but it has a beautiful corset back, and that lends more stability because a wider band around the waist is better for big, beautiful people. And those leather straps are not going to cut in if she really cinches it down like elastic straps would. I'm so sorry to hear that you bought 3 different harnesses and they all ended up not being right. Goodness, you could have just shopped once and shopped quality. But yeah, finding all of this information on the internet is sometimes really tricky. So I'm really glad that you asked me. So yes, the Aslan Leather Minx is the first suggestion I would have. It does come in some beautiful colors. Nicki Minaj pink is one. It's kind of a fuchsia pink. Prince purple is another. It's kind of a deep lavender, if you will. And then there's also kind of a deep red, black. You get the point. There's a variety of colors to choose from. And they're so well made, it's unbelievable. But here's another option for you. Another option, because when you mention feminine, the very first thing I think of when I think of feminine is I think of the couture harnesses that Spare Parts puts out, the Bella and the Sasha. These are beautiful, beautiful harnesses. My favorite is the Sasha. The Sasha is like a panty harness. So it's fabric and it's a panty harness, but it has garters and those garters are detachable. You don't have to use them all the time. It also has shirring up the butt. What does that mean? It means like a seam that is gathered. And it's made so that that seam nestles into your butt crack and just makes your butt look fucking awesome. It's amazing. There's little ribbons on the side, which can be pulled up and tied into a bow if you want more of a high cut panty, or completely let down if you want more of a full cut panty. And Spare Parts makes these in every size you can imagine. They have a really good sizing guide as well. So that would be another suggestion. The differences between the two, well, fabric harnesses, you can just throw it in the little washing bag and wash it in cold on the washer and you're done. Leather requires a little bit more care, The leather has interchangeable O-rings, the Aslan leather minks. That can come into play if you are planning on, you know, sizing up in your cocks eventually in your toys. Whereas the spare part Sasha has a sewn-in ring. If you are thinking about getting some really big toys at some point in time, you may outsize the capability of that sewn-in O-ring. But otherwise, it works quite well. If you're a brand new beginner, you may even need a little bit of a stabilizer ring to go in there because it's made at about 1.5 inches. So if you've got 1.25-inch toy, it might move around a little bit. Some people find that really annoying. What are other pros and cons? If you really like to be able to access her lady parts while she's got that harness on, you or she, they're less available. They're kind of not available when you have a panty harness on. But two-strap harnesses, her lady parts would be available. And last but not least, the Aslan Leather Minx has this pretty cool thing included with the harness called a double-up cuff. And it's a little piece of leather that slides on those two straps that can hold a plug or a dildo in her ass, and maybe her vagina too. It depends on how she is built and how much distance there is between her clit and her vagina. So yes, that double up cuff can be really fun. You could even put like a vibrating butt plug in there and she could have the remote, or you could have the remote, or you can do all kinds of things. So I would suggest those two. Those are actually what I think of the most when I think of really feminine harnesses. The other really fancy harness that has those detachable garters is called the Bella. Here's the differences. It doesn't have those tie-up sides if you want to change the high cut or the full cut panty. It has a little peekaboo hole in the back for butt cleavage with a bow at the top. It's quite sexy. And it is a booty cut harness. So like the bottom end of your booty is going to be hanging out a little bit. It's quite sexy, but it depends on if that's what you want or what you don't. And I have to say, the spare parts harnesses are made so well. What you get if you order one of those spare parts harnesses is you get, first of all, the harness, clearly. You have the detachable garters. You have a bag to store your harness in when you're not using your harness. Inside that bag is another little pocket for the detachable garters with a little couple of buttons to close it and make sure that those garters don't come out. You also get a bag to wash your harness in. And recently, because of a question I got, I actually discovered that they seal the ends of the ribbons, like the ones on the Sasha that tie up the sides. I was blown away. Those are little tiny ribbons. And I got a question about those ribbons, whether or not you could just take them off because this person had a partner who didn't like bows. And it's like, can we just take the bows off? So you've got something against bows. That's fine. Everybody's individual. And I checked out my harness, my Sasha. And it's like, oh my gosh, they have sealed the ends of the ribbon so they don't fray. These people think of everything. They're the best of the best. But it also applies the best of the best to Aslan leather. So that would be the two or three, I guess. I just told you about three harnesses. Those would be the two companies that I would absolutely suggest. They're excellent for the big, beautiful givers out there. Good luck and tell us what you get, how you like it. My wife has tasked me with finding a new harness. Currently, she uses the Sport Sheets Plus Size Diva. It's a 4-strap design, which she prefers over a 3-strap. She wants wider straps across the butt. The Sport Sheets straps are a bit thin, and she said she feels like it's hard to get it snug without the straps cutting into her. Wider straps would help. The Sport Sheets used an O-ring to attach most any dildo with a suction cup base. It came with 3 ring sizes, although we only used the largest ring for pegging because I'm a size queen. Most of the dildos we use are 2.5 inches wide or more. The largest is 3 inches across. We do use the smallest ring and smaller diameter dildos when she wants a blowjob. I haven't managed to unhinge my jaw to take a 3-incher down my throat yet. Cost isn't a huge issue. Under $100 would be nice. We would prefer a harness with the ring design as it offers flexibility in dildo choice. Thanks in advance. Okay, so this is a similar question, but you're looking for large toy capabilities. First, let me clarify that you call it a 4-strap design as opposed to a 3-strap. So I'm positive that what you mean by that is the four strap are two straps that go around each leg, okay? And the three strap that you call is the one that is like a G-string design. I call those a two strap and a one strap, but I just wanted to clarify because I'm quite sure that that's what you mean. And yes, the two strap, meaning two straps that go around the legs, is absolutely the sturdiest design and the most comfortable for most people. It is not unusual for the big, beautiful givers to find that if they really cinch harnesses down in the cheaper harnesses, especially with fabrics that are like nylon strapping and things like that, which you will find in the cheaper harnesses, that it feels like it's kind of cutting into you. So the best solution I have for you in the combination with the big toy combined with the plus size harness would be the Aslan Leather Minx once again. And here are your limitations with that. If you picture that front triangle of the harness itself and you picture where that O-ring is, you will see three leather snaps that are going to hold in that O-ring, right? So if you unsnap those and measure the distance between them, you will see that 3.5 to 3.75 inches is your limitation. But what I'm talking about here, and you need to listen carefully, is the base of the toy. See, the hole that goes all the way through that Aslan Leather Minx harness is only 1.5 inches wide, right? So over 1.5 inches, you're not going to be able to fit the toy through the hole because the hole's not that big. But that O-ring is made for a flared-based single dildo, right? As opposed to something that you can put through the hole. And so what's going to limit you is the base of it, not the dildo itself. So whatever the measurement is of the dildo itself, as long as the base is 3.5 to 2, you might be able to squeeze in 3.75 inches, that base will be able to be held down by the snaps, because that's the distance between the snaps. Check out your toys and measure them, and measure the base of the toy, not the diameter that's going inside your ass, and figure out if that works for you. And the other thing that can help out when you're using toys that are big, and bless you, you size king, you. I prefer to call it size king as opposed to size queen. But you know, what I found out is that sometimes receivers who are really into calling themselves a size queen, they're kind of getting in touch with their feminine part. And so they like the term size queen, just like they like the term of the position cowgirl instead of cowboy, right? Gender is such an interesting thing. Nonetheless, I digress. What may help the stability is to get metal O-rings instead of the silicone ones. The silicone ones are going to have a little bit of stretch to them naturally. So when you get big toys, it really helps the stability if you use metal O-rings instead. That will lend stability, absolutely. So that is my suggestion for you. You started off with a decent harness, but this Aslan Leather Minx is going to fit so much better. And that would be my best solution for that combination of big, beautiful giver and big toys. So I hope that works for you. Good luck. And if you get it, let us know how you like it. I'm a straight male who has recently gotten engaged to the woman of my dreams. A couple of months ago, we started experimenting on butt plugs on her, then shortly thereafter, on me. I found that I really enjoyed it, and she didn't have any issues with it. The only concern she expressed to me was that she was worried that she wouldn't be enough to get me off, and we would always have to use toys. I believe she's gotten over that, as anal play is not an every-time occurrence. Discovering prostate stimulation was something of an epiphany for me, and something I want to explore more with her, which is when I came across pegging. The idea of her stimulating my prostate slowly while her hands are free to stroke my cock, while having full view of her gorgeous body and perfect breasts, sounds pretty damn good. I, albeit timidly, brought up strap-on play, and it caught her off guard. I had to convince her that I'm not gay. She got upset and worried that she isn't sure that she is what I want, and hurt because she felt like she wasn't enough for me. I was scared because she traditionally has dated stereotypical male archetypes, hunting and shooting types, and I wondered if she would see me as less of a man because of my interest in exploring pegging. She never said no, and she later came around and explained that she thinks the anal play is escalating too fast. I respected her feelings, And if she wants to slow down, and this goes for any sexual activity, it's up to me, as a loving, significant other, to be understanding, as I would expect her to be with me. Pressuring someone into a sexual act takes away their pleasure, and therefore my own, because sex, when done right, can be one of the best examples of reciprocating altruism. Where is this all going, Charles? Just get to the question already, you might be thinking. A, is there a way for me to communicate to her to help her understand that she is not just enough, but more than I could have ever asked for? And B, any insight on bringing this up again without making her feel pressured? My thoughts, as of now, are to wait and let her broach the subject, but I'm wondering if that will happen or not. Sorry for being long-winded. Thank you for reading, and I appreciate any perspective you're willing to share. Kind regards, Charles. P.S. Neither of us watch porn, so we don't have any preconceived bias towards pegging. Not sure if that helps your analysis. And then your P.P.S. was, saw a YouTube clip where you met Tom Segura and Christine P. I'm envious. Yes, that was the Comedy Central adventure. I'm glad you enjoyed that. I didn't have much interaction with them, but they seemed like lovely people. As did Nikki Glazer. So moving right along here. One of the things that I noticed, Charles, is that you never mention podcast number 112. What is podcast number 112? Podcast number 112 is something I recorded specifically for Givers after being introduced to the idea of pegging. What I have found over all the years that I've done this is that there are many, many, many misconceptions and myths surrounding pegging. And there's a lot of them. So I go through each and every one of them one by one. I give accurate information which dispels the myths and misconceptions. I don't try and convince the person that they really should try pegging. I just give them accurate information. But along with that, I emphasize the relationship, because what you've really done in telling her that you want to try this is you have given her a gift of intimacy, because you have allowed her to know your desires on a deeper level. So I emphasize that. And I say that no matter what you decide to do, always be grateful for that gift, because it's a really valuable thing when your partner shares a deeper level of themselves. That's a very vulnerable thing and can be a really scary thing. So she's already been introduced to the idea. You need to listen to the podcast first, because you are the only one that can decide if this is appropriate for your partner or not. But if you do listen to it and think it's a great idea, the way that I might introduce her to it is to say, in, you know, a moment that you judge to be a good moment, and probably not in bed having sex, that's usually not a good time, to say, so I don't want to pressure you at all about this pegging thing, but I found some information that I think may help you a little bit. So, you know, within the next month, say, it would be awesome if you could find some time to just listen to this podcast, because I think it has a lot of really good information that might make you feel a little bit more comfortable about this. But know, as always, that I'm not going to rush you on this. This is just an offering of information for you, and it would mean a lot to me if you listen to that sometime in the next month. And you can put whatever time frame you want on that. But I would, you know, really kindly, diplomatically, and gently introduce her to this, give her the link. You can offer to listen to it with her if that's what she wants, or just give her the link and she can listen to it by herself. You can give her the choice. Lots of different ways to do this, but that is absolutely what I would do. It sounds like there may be some fears that she needs reassurance about. This is the first thing I get because of her first reaction about, are you gay? And she got hurt. So this podcast might be the perfect thing for her. Just know that it's possible, after listening to the podcast and having all of that accurate information, she may indeed still decide that it's not something that she likes, and you have to content yourself with whatever ass play she's willing to do. But this is a really, really common fear about, I'm not enough for you, you're going to want this and nothing else. Yes, this is very common. So hopefully, podcast number 112 will do the trick. Good luck to you, sir, and let us know how it goes. And thanks for the letter, Charles. Hi, Ruby. Recently discovered you and your beautifully hypnotic podcasts. So much melting sexiness to be found. My girlfriend of just over a year has just taken delivery of a gorgeous panty harness and 7-inch dildo. In her words, hurry up Friday. Finally, a consuming fantasy will become a reality, all with the girl of my dreams. She has spent many hours commuting via train, listening to your wise words, and is as frothy as me regarding pegging. Hallelujah, so bloody excited. Thank you, Ruby. JFK is the initials. That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing your excitement with us. And I think this is an older letter. At least a few weeks have gone by. So if you've done the deed and you feel inspired, describe it and write me and tell me all about it. I'd be happy to read it on the podcast and play the celebratory music for you. Because if she's been listening to my podcast, that is how that goes. And I'm quite sure she knows that. Thanks for the letter. I'm in contact with a young woman who I follow on Instagram and sells porn videos and related things, so I assume is a sex worker. I asked her if she knew someone who could peg me my first time, and she came back and said she would do it, but asked me how much I would pay for it. I explained I have never paid for being pegged nor for any sex. I told her I would pay, but don't know how much to offer her, especially since she is obviously new to this fetish. What is a fair price? And then in parentheses it says, East Coast City in USA, not New York City. Thanks. Wow, I have never been asked this question before, and it's kind of cool that I'm being asked it because I came out as a sex worker, which is one of the reasons I'm assuming you asked me, hard to know. But nonetheless, I don't have a clue what a fair price would be. I don't feel comfortable on my podcast talking about how much I charge. Wow, I'm discovering new levels of comfort and discomfort, aren't I? Yeah, that's you know, if you want to approach me professionally, you go to my professional website. There you go. But what I would do is I would go to Google and put in the name of your city or the biggest city nearby you and put in the word escort. And you might also want to put in the word pegging. So there you go. You're going to bring up a bunch of websites and see if you can find a website that when you click into it and click into a specific profile of someone nearby you, you can click in and see what their prices are for an hour of service. This is how you judge how much sex workers pay where you are. Now, how much would you pay here? I have to say, only because I'm an expert at the pegging and I'm also a sex worker, I'd be a little nervous with someone who has never done this before. Because a lot of things can go wrong with someone who has never done it before. If this is your only choice, or if this is a choice that you're kind of attached to and you want to try it out, I suggest that you educate yourself a lot before you go and see this person. Because you're going to be the one that's going to be monitoring things and making sure that she doesn't make a mistake. That may or may not cut down on your enjoyment or ability to relax. And this is why I suggest that you get somebody who maybe is a little more experienced, because even though you're going to pay more, you will be able to relax and know that this person knows what they're doing. Because if they're just like, well, yeah, you know, if you want this and you're going to pay me for it, I'll do it, and they don't know what they're doing, it can go really wrong. This is a very vulnerable area of your body. You need to know what you're doing so that it doesn't be painful, so that it is still enjoyable. So yeah, I could go on about that, but you get the idea. So that is how you solve that problem. I do hope you find exactly what you're looking for. And if you decide not to do it with this person because of what I've said, what I just told you about how to find someone in your area is exactly how you do it. And you would want to be looking for someone who in their profile specifically says that they have experience in doing pegging. Good luck to you, sir. I hope you find what you are looking for. I recently discovered your incredible site and am obsessed with it. I'm in the process of listening to all of your podcasts as well. Retired military pilot and now in the EMS field. Married for 20 years and have recently begun to solo play with a snug plug too. My first anal experience was well before I was married, when a girlfriend fingered me. I never forgot, nor did I fully understand. Thanks to your site, I now do. It was exhilarating buying that first toy a few weeks ago. And of course, using it is even better. The girl at the store was incredibly helpful. I'm going back soon to go for the Snug Plug 3 as I want more girth, size, and feel. My extremely vanilla wife does not know about my toy. I did, however, tell her I'm interested in prostate stimulation with her. I even whispered the word pegging. There was minimal response, but I had all of this courage to do all of these recent actions because of you. We are very sexually disconnected and haven't been intimate for many years. I do hope this will help us reconnect on a personal and intimate level. In our distant years, I have changed. I'm now emotionally needy and sensitive. On occasion, she will call me a girl in those moments, and doesn't yet know I secretly like it when she does. I hope the dynamic of our relationship changes, and I assume a sub-role to her, in all ways, with pegging of me, the new order. I hope you find this interesting and will want to know how this plays out. For now, I will be listening, reading, and plugged whenever I can. Thank you for giving me the courage to get this far and changing my life for the better. And it's signed To Be Hers. So, wow, thank you so much for sharing all of this. The Snug Plugs are really awesome plugs. One of the best things about those Snug Plugs is that the neck of the toy is quite slender, so you don't have the sphincter being held open. You just have the inner rectal canal being held open, and that is the part that, when you have more girth in there, is going to give your prostate more stimulation. So yay, the Snug Plug. I'm so glad you're enjoying them. So I'm a little concerned because you say that you've been very sexually disconnected and haven't been intimate for many years. To me, the first thing to do is to reconnect intimately. It sounds like you are diving into your own sexual explorations, and I celebrate that 100%. I totally do. And I encourage you, and I'm glad that what you have found in my offerings has given you the courage to do this. But I also, at the same time, would suggest that reconnecting with your partner sexually is more than exploring your newfound horizons. Reconnecting with your partner sexually is discovering what she wants, what she needs, what her fantasies are, and cleaning up your side of the street. And I don't say that to imply that it's not clean, but keeping your side of the street clean is how I should have phrased it. And again, if you've been listening to my podcast, you will have heard this many times. So what does that mean? That means being the best partner you can possibly be. Making her as happy as you possibly can. That can include so many things. That can include wonderful, thoughtful little things that you do for her that are unexpected. You do the dishes when maybe she's supposed to do them all the time, or habitually she just is the one who does them. You pick up groceries at the store. You call her or text her and say, "Hey, can I get anything at the store?" You buy her flowers for no reason. And you seduce her. Again, I am familiar with what it's like to be sexually disconnected in a relationship. My second marriage was like that. And it was just such a sad thing. And I think the only way back from that would have been to, because it never happened for me, would have been to slowly but surely almost act like you're meeting this person again for the first time and take things really slow. Maybe kiss a little bit. Maybe do massage together. Maybe go out on dates and things. Because after a while, the walls feel just so big. And if you need something to relax, a drink or two, or something to smoke, sometimes lets down those inhibitions if you are people to partake of those things. But I do suggest that you pay attention to her as well. Wrap your mind around that subject that I just talked about involving her, finding out what her pleasures are. She may have some hidden dominance that she would be thrilled to do this, but a little step at a time is better. And sexually reconnecting first, before jumping into the "I want to be a sub and have you peg me all the time," is advisable, especially if you are disconnected. Otherwise, you run the risk of disconnecting more and having her be even more distant. I guess I'm looking at it from my point of view. If I was really sexually disconnected from my husband for a really long time, and then he came to me telling me what, you know, he's been fantasizing about all this time, and it was all about him, and really not so much about me, I might kind of go, wow, so really that's all you have come up with after all this time we haven't had sex? And I know you don't look at it that way, but be careful along those lines. I am very interested to see how this plays out for you, and I wish you the very, very best. Discovering new things that turn you on and how you're wired sexually can be so exciting. And I do have one suggestion. One way to broach the subject is to talk about prostate stimulation being healthy, prostate health. You mentioned that you've been married for 20 years. I'm imagining that makes you at least 40 or so. Well, as men get older, there's an epidemic number of men out there, at least in the United States, who get BPH. That's called benign prostatic hyperplasia. What is that? That's just swollen prostate. That's the fancy name, the formal name for swollen prostate. What is swollen prostate? Well, they don't really know. It's not an infection, but your prostate swells. The problem with that is that your bladder has a tube to empty it that goes smack through the middle of the prostate. So the symptoms that you're going to have if you have swollen prostate or are headed in that direction is you have to get up during the night more often to pee, and you feel like you can't void your bladder completely, and this gets worse and worse. They have a bunch of medications out there that are partly effective but have some nasty side effects. And then there's really invasive techniques as well. There's laser cutting around the tube that carries the urine. There's a bunch of different stuff. But the first thing I would try if I was that age, or, you know, in a preventative manner even, prostate massage can keep your prostate healthy. The very best thing you can do as well for your prostate is to have an orgasm every single day. But prostate massage absolutely has been shown to help by the maker of a prostate massage device. The point of telling you all this is that you can approach opening up to your partner about this through the road of prostate health. And that it happens to be pleasurable at the same time would be awesome. It's not like you need to hide that. It's like, hey, I've heard this would really help me keep my prostate healthy, as well as I hear it's sort of like a guy's G-spot, pretty much. Women have a G-spot. It's sort of like a guy having a G-spot. And of course, you can have her listen to podcast number 112, which I detailed all about earlier in the podcast, in answer to another question. That might be a fabulous idea for her to listen to, but listen to it yourself first and choose your timing well. I wish you the best of luck, sir, in exploring all this. I'm excited for you. And yes, changing your life for the better, that's always a wonderful place to be. I hope you stay inspired and that it all works out for you. So I want to make a quick mention of some new toys. Back in podcast number 238, there was somebody who wrote in that was concerned about the angle of the Fuse Tango, that they were considering buying it, but were thinking, you know, the angle of it does not lend itself to a whole bunch of different positions, which to a certain extent I agree. It's much better at lending itself to different positions than the Fieldo or the Rieldo, because those are very rigid. That connector point between the two parts of the double is very rigid, whereas the Fuse Tango is much more flexible. But the point of all of that intro is to tell you that there are some new toys out there. They're called Strap On Me, and they make single flared base dildos that are dual density that are bendable. The only thing I've gotten my hands on so far, Tiffany and I just had dinner the other night, and it was the smallest one, which is actually quite slender. Yeah, it does bend a little bit, but really the only reason that you would want that ability to bend like that is if you were going to pack and you wanted to bend it to tuck it or put it to the side or something like that. It is not a strong enough bend to make any difference in terms of prostate stimulation or anything like that. However, the doubles that Strap-On Me offers not only are adjustable in angle, okay, and I'm talking about the angle between the two parts, so they are bendable, and the reviews say that if you bend it, like let's say that you have a double in and you want to have the receiver lay down and you want to lay on top of them, they're on their belly, right, and you want to lay on top of them, well, it would be great if you could increase the angle of that double so that you are targeting the prostate, because at its normal angle, it's not going to do as much because it's a little too, it's angled in the wrong direction, if you get what I mean. So the point being here, it's adjustable, and when you bend it, it will hold that shape throughout the play. So it's much more versatile in terms of actually combining a double with lots of different positions. Okay, that's like the first thing that's way cool about it. The second thing that's way cool about it is that it actually comes in different sizes. Swear to God, you guys, how long have we been waiting for a wider double, for a girthier double? Well, it's not huge, I have to say, but it does go all the way up to 1.77 inches in girth. That's the biggest one. So, I mean, we've talked about this for a while and actually found a workaround by getting a sleeve at Bad Dragon and putting it on top of a double, right? So here is a company that has made three different kinds. Now, the double is not quite dual density. It has a soft surface, but it is not that softer outer and then more rigid inner core. So don't expect the dual density part of that. If you're really wanting something that has a little bit more squishability, if you will, then Fuse also makes the Fuse Tango Real. The real part implies that it does look realistic, but it also, because it is made to look realistic, it also feels more realistic as well. And that means it has like a squishy outside to it. So that mimics the dual density much more. So if there is a double out there that is kind of dual density, that one comes closest to it, the Fuse Real. And as always, you guys, all these links are going to be in the Linkorama. Okay, here's my last letter. Wow. And I want to reassure many of you out there who have written in and you're not hearing your letters read and you're not hearing your pegging celebration times read. I'm working backwards and I'm going to get to you. I'm serious. It's just that the backlog is happening because I was off for a while, right? Off in a number of ways, and I am back. So here is my last letter here. Okay, so I have always had a really hard time talking dirty. Whether it's just us fucking or when I fuck his ass, I always feel like I'm doing it wrong. I mean, I love the fact that he wears panties every day and lingerie at times, but I feel like I can't talk dirty to him. Oh, I feel for you. This is from Tiffany, and not the Tiffany who owns Entice Me. It is a different Tiffany that has written me a letter. It's a slow progression is what I would tell you, and here's what I mean about that. Our society is pretty sex negative. So it's this slow progression from being comfortable in the bedroom with your significant other and getting comfortable doing sex and talking about sex, which sometimes can be a challenge for people just that. Many times it can, as a matter of fact. And talking about it is especially something that is not encouraged and practiced. You know, I know a lot of people out there talk about dirty talk this and dirty talk that, but if you've never been exposed to it, and if you've been raised with all of these morals about sex is something you have to hide and not talk about and blah, 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 when you very first start talking dirty, it can feel really uncomfortable. It can feel unnatural. It can be really hard. So I get that that's what you're going through. Here are my suggestions. This might help you find the words. And at first, it's going to feel engineered, if you will, sort of like, okay, this is not coming from a spontaneous, sexy place, but believe me, it will eventually. Here are my suggestions. Talk about what you're going to do. Describe what you're going to do, okay? So describing what you're going to do, like, I'm going to take this lovely, thick cock and slide it so deep into your ass, okay? I'm going to grab you by the hips and fuck the shit out of you. And depending on what kind of a relationship you guys have, you can put a little bit more dominant thing in or a little bit less dominant or whatever. Or I'm going to lay back and have you ride me until you can't move anymore. And you're going to feel it for days when you say, see what I mean? So you describe what you're going to do. And you can even start that way before the bedroom in an anticipatory erotic way. Like when we get home, you're going to go to the bathroom and clean up, and I'm going to put that harness on, and we are going to have some fun. So, you know, describing what's going to happen. And then when you start doing it, you describe what you're seeing. Oh my God, it looks so fucking sexy watching this slide into your ass. Describe what you're hearing. Your moans are so fucking sexy. Every time I push deep inside you, you moan, and that's turning me on so much, right? Variations of that. So if you feel lost, if you feel like, Jesus, I don't know what to say, describe what you're seeing, your enjoyment of it. Describe what you're hearing, your enjoyment of it. And then you can go into the future, kind of like. Even if you're right in the middle of fucking, You can go into the future and, again, describe what you want to do and say, I'm just going to fuck you so long that you're not going to be able to walk tomorrow. Something like this. See, mine always come out with this dominant sort of, you don't have any choice attitude, but it doesn't have to be that way. It can have your own flavor to it as well. Every time someone writes a letter in like this, and it happens periodically, I think about getting my good friend, the phone sex operator, on an interview with me because she, Jesus, if there's somebody that can do dirty talk, that would be her. So maybe I'll do that in the future. So I appreciate your letter. I wish you the best of luck. Much of this is sort of fake it until you make it. Just try different stuff out. One of the other things I'm going to do for you is I put out the call to my sex educators group on Facebook to anybody who has covered this subject before that has resources to offer. So I already have one, and I will go ahead and put up the rest of them as soon as I find them. I'm not going to have time to listen to them all, but I will leave it up to you to sort through them as you will. So good luck to you. Have fun. Just keep having fun with it, because you know you can laugh while you're pegging too. You can totally laugh. You will get there, Tiffany. You will be talking dirty to your guy, and you guys are going to have a great time. Thanks for the letter. Here is what I'm going to close with. I'm going to tell you about my evolution of my webinars. I wrote about this, but again, some of you are podcast solely, so I'm going to explain what the deal is. So I have been offering my podcast for free for a long time because I never wanted there to be a paywall between what I offer to the world and the people who want to learn it. And that's been okay. In the beginning, I had gendered pricing. I had givers for free because I was wanting to increase the number of givers out there in the world. And receivers were $15 donation, but if that was not a cool thing or they didn't have the money or whatever, they could just shoot me an email. So both givers and receivers had to send me an email to get into my classes. When that was happening, I had about a 60% attendance rate as far as the people who registered compared to who actually showed up. And 60% is not bad for a webinar. So that went along fine. And then I realized that gender pricing pretty much sucks. That as a sex positive person in a world that is breaking out of the gender binary and all that kind of stuff, I just didn't want to do that anymore. So I decided it was just going to be free, which is kind of a cool thing because that made the email exchange unnecessary. There were no more codes that you needed to buy tickets for free and stuff like that. Just made everything more simple. And at the same time, I was developing an advanced class, okay? And I put so much work into that advanced class. As a matter of fact, I put so much work into it that now I'm going to divide it up into two classes. But the point being, I was really proud of that, and I have just started teaching it. So, okay, these two things happen at the same time, right? I break out my advanced class and I decide it's free for everybody. And I set a limit of 25 people for each webinar. That way, if people have questions, that size of group is easy for me to handle. It works, right? So I top out at attendance. 25 people schedule for this free webinar. 6 people show up, okay? So that really didn't feel very good because, I mean, when it tops out at attendance, then no other people can register, right? So that was one thing. But also in combination with bringing out this advanced webinar and really being proud of it and all of the work that I put into it, it felt like I was disrespected. So I kind of sat back and really had to think about it. Now, my sister has reminded me a number of times about reading this book about Shirley MacLaine, of all people, about how she had all these cool things to teach to people. And at one point in time, somebody asked her, well, you know, if you believe X, Y, and Z, how come you don't offer them for free if you believe that everybody should have access to these things? I'm not sure of the exact context, but she was asked this question. She said, well, that's an easy answer. I discovered that people don't value things unless they pay for them. Okay, so that's a good point. So here is what I have decided. I sat with this for a long time and decided that this is what's going to happen. My webinars will cost money, absolutely. And then quarterly, I will offer them for free. So if you want to wait for that next free webinar, more power to you. The attendance for those is going to top out at 100. You're not going to get as much of a personalized experience because maybe I'll see your questions. Maybe I won't, depending on how many people have signed up for them. I'm not going to limit attendance on those free ones, but they will absolutely be free. And right now, I'm still planning on separating up that advanced webinar because it's way too long, and I'll have 3 webinars. It's going to look like this: beginning pegging, advanced pegging, and equipment. So probably the order in which you would want to take those would be the beginning first, the equipment one next, and then the advanced, if that's something that you want to explore. I'm going to price them individually, and then I'm also going to have a package deal if you want to buy all three that'll give you a break on the price. All three of those will be available for free once a quarter, so four times a year. Patrons, all of my patrons, can drop into any of my webinars for free. The other thing that's good to know is once you have watched a webinar, let's say you pay for the beginning webinar. Well, once you pay for that beginning webinar, you can watch it again as many times as you want. You can drop in with a new partner even. You'll have the code to do it, so no problem at all. So that's I hope that wasn't too confusing, but that's kind of the evolution of what's happening with my webinars. And since I made that decision, I can't tell you how happy I am about this. Now, it's not a matter of, hey, yay, I'm making money, but you know what? The people who come are there, they're paying attention, they don't pop in and out, they value it because they've paid for it. So they're really paying attention and they really want to be there, as opposed to, oh, well, this is free, let me fucking check this out, and if I don't like it, fuck it, right? So, some time ago, I ran across an article talking about somatic pricing. And this is a fascinating concept to me. And what that meant was, so if you offer a service to someone or a product, price it at somewhere that makes you happy. Not outrageously, not saying, well, yeah, if I charge $900 for my seminar, that would make me really happy. No, what the market will bear, what a fair price is, and then think about what would make you want to produce that product or offer that service happily, gladly, every time. And so this is what's happening. I am enjoying these webinars a whole lot more. I'm enjoying them because people are there because they really want to be, and they're valuing what I have to offer. So this is a self-perpetuating positive thing, because if you price somatically, then what you're doing is guaranteeing that you approach this with willingness and enthusiasm and a happiness to share with the world whatever your product is or your service, right? That's exactly what I'm feeling, you guys. It's the coolest thing ever. So yes, the webinars are really fun now, and I just wanted to share that with you. So that's what's happening with webinars. Please feel free to drop in and check them out because they're pretty damn cool. I'm quite proud of them. My PowerPoint game is strong. Seriously. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Pegging101.com has informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps. And you can find a sampling of those under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter and MeWe, and check out my Facebook page. If you order any sexy new toys, especially all those ones that I talked about that are going to be in the Linkorama from EnticeMe, use that coupon code WRITER for 15% off of your entire purchase. Send your questions to Ruby at peggingparadise.com. No question is too wild, too woolly, or too wicked. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Please throw those questions in my mailbox, and you can call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging, and hashtag no shame.